In 2021, Islamabad, Pakistan, became the center of a tragic case. The murder of Noor Mukaddam, a 27-year-old woman, daughter of a Pakistani diplomat. Her life, enriched by international exposure, met a tragic end at the hands of Zahir Jaffer, a man from a wealthy family. The rejection of a marriage proposal spiraled into a nightmare of captivity, abuse, and ultimately, a brutal murder. This case sparked global outrage, with the Justice for Noor movement highlighting the widespread problem of gender-based violence. Today, let's talk about the case of Noor Mukaddam. In 2021, a shocking murder occurred in Pakistan and captured global attention. Noor Mukaddam, a 27-year-old woman, was found brutally killed and decapitated at the residence of Zahir Jaffer, whom she apparently was in a relationship with. Before her death, Noor had been missing for 2 days, with no contact with her family. This wasn't initially alarming, as Noor occasionally stayed out overnight. However, concern grew when she didn't respond to calls and messages. Her father and sisters tried repeatedly to reach her, but to no avail. It turned out that since July 18th, when Noor visited Jaffer, she had been held captive in his house. She endured 2 days of physical abuse, being hit and punched with a knuckle duster. At one point, she tried to escape by jumping from the balcony, but tragically, Jaffer's guards caught her and brought her back. It's horrifying to think that the guards, knowing she was a victim, still chose to aid her tormentor. Noor was tragically close to freedom, but the guards were complicit in her captivity. These details alone sparked widespread outrage. The case ignited intense discussions about violence against women, particularly about women who are coerced into complying with men's demands, often at the cost of their lives. The hashtag #JusticeForNoor became a trending topic, highlighting the deep impact of this murder on the public consciousness. People demanded justice, calling for retribution. This outcry was for Noor, who was the daughter of a notable figure, but also for all women who had suffered similar fates. Noor Mukaddam was born in Jordan in October 1993. Her father, Shaukat Mukaddam, was a prominent Pakistani diplomat. Due to her father's career, the family frequently moved between countries. Noor spent her childhood in Ireland, where her father was stationed for work. The cultural environment in Ireland, quite different from Pakistan, allowed Noor greater educational opportunities. She had a good life there, surrounded by a loving family. Known for her gentle and sociable nature, Noor had 2 close friends with whom she often spent time. Her interests in fashion and art led her to enjoy shopping and appreciating artistic works. But their time in Ireland couldn't last forever. As Noor approached adulthood, her family had to return to Pakistan due to her father's reassignment. The move was a significant culture shock for Noor, but she adapted quickly. Despite the more restrictive environment in Pakistan, her family continued to support her dreams and passions. Noor pursued skills in clothing design and creating artistic murals. In Pakistan, Noor met Zahir Jaffer, who would tragically become her killer. Jaffer, born in 1991 to wealthy parents Zakir Jaffer and Asmat Adamji, spent much of his life in the U.S., and it's believed he grew up there. It's not clear if he had a business, but he frequently traveled back to Pakistan. Being wealthy, he could afford to fly as often as he liked, and he was set to inherit his family's business. Given Noor's personality, everyone expected her to choose a decent partner. But Jaffer was far from it. He had a history of violence and harassment in both the US and the UK. He was known for being misogynistic, often sending inappropriate messages to women. He even got deported from the UK for sexually assaulting a woman. Nor did it know about Jeffers' dark side. What she and her loved ones did see was his abusive behavior. He had a terrible temper, often throwing tantrums. He was verbally and physically violent towards Noor. Her friends and family were concerned, but somehow, this man managed to be with Noor for 3 years. We shouldn't blame Noor for any of this. We don't know what pressures she faced, especially with Jeffers' temper. One thing is clear, Noor didn't want a life with someone abusive and unpredictable. This is probably why Jeffer felt so hurt when she rejected him. Let's look at the timeline leading up to the murder. Jeffer was in New York until July 7th, then flew to Pakistan on the 18th. At that time, Noor was living with her family in Islamabad. When Jeffer arrived, he called Noor around 9 p.m., inviting her to his house. Noor said goodbye to her family and went to Jeffer's house. Noor arrived at Jeffer's house around 10 p.m., but it's not clear what exactly happened then or how things quickly turned violent. Reports say that Jeffer proposed to Noor that night and even had tickets for a trip to the U.S. as a kind of reward if she accepted. But Noor turned down his proposal, which he saw as a huge disrespect, and his ego couldn't handle it. Jeffer's phone records show he was in touch with a travel agency, asking about the consequences of not flying to the US as planned. He was told that his tickets would be useless, as it was too close to departure time. It seemed likely that Jeffer was pressuring Noor, possibly trying to guilt trip her about the tickets, but Noor stood her ground. Jeffer seemed intent on taking Noor to the US, almost forcing her. A taxi came to his house around 11 p.m., but he asked the driver to wait. It's unclear if he was still trying to coerce Noor into going. The taxi left, but returned around 2 a.m. on July 19th. When Jeffer and Noor came out at 2 a.m., Noor was barefoot, suggesting she might have been dragged out against her will. In the taxi, Jeffer was talking aggressively to Noor, who stayed silent. Eventually, Jeffer told the driver to turn back, using the excuse that they would miss their flight. Back at the residence, Noor's last hours were filled with violence and cruelty. Jeffer assaulted her physically, determined to make her agree to his demands. A DNA test after an autopsy also revealed that she was sexually assaulted, though it's not clear when that occurred. Noor tried to escape multiple times. Once, she jumped from a balcony but was caught by the security guards and returned to Jeffer. Another time, she hid in the security post of the house, but again, Jeffer found her and dragged her back. Back at her home, Noor's family was getting increasingly worried. On July 20th, after numerous unreturned calls and messages, Noor somehow managed to send a voice message to her mother. The content of this message is still not public, but it was obvious to her mother that Noor was in a dire situation. Shortly after this message, the family received a call from Jeffer. He acted suspiciously, insisting he hadn't seen Noor since his arrival and repeatedly claiming she wasn't at his house. It's possible that Noor's attempt to alert her family infuriated Jeffer, leading to an even more violent response. Jeffer brutally attacked Noor, first with a knuckle duster he had used before, then with a gun, attempting to shoot her. In a fit of rage, he grabbed a large kitchen knife, stabbing her multiple times, and eventually decapitating her. Noor Mukaddam's life ended tragically just because she exercised her right to choose. After the act, Jeffer seemed to realize the gravity of his actions. Panicking, he called his family. The details of this 11-second conversation haven't been revealed. He then made an irrational call to his father's friend, claiming a robber had invaded his home and asking for help. This bizarre call alarmed the friend, who then informed Jeffer's family. Believing Jeffer was in trouble, his parents contacted a counseling firm and sent authorities to the house. However, those who arrived were met with a horrifying scene. They found Noor's headless body. This shocking discovery led to a call for backup. Jeffer, in his agitated state, even attacked a member of the Therapy Works team, injuring them. Officials said his father contacted Therapy Works, asking the employees to shift him to their clinic and declare that he was a patient, as this would make his defense strong. Therapy Works here is a renowned rehabilitation clinic, and the organization's alleged links to Jeffer stirred controversy. It was a chilling revelation to find out that Jeffer worked as a counselor at Therapy Works, leading to its office being sealed by the authorities. It further emerged that Zahir Jeffer was using his qualifications from Therapy Works to work as a therapist for children as young as 12 years old. Eventually, Jeffer was arrested, and the Mukadam family was informed about the gruesome discovery. The arrest of Jeffer and his accomplices happened swiftly after the murder was discovered. The First Information Report, FIR, was filed immediately, charging Jeffer and others with premeditated murder. Noor's father demanded the maximum penalty for Jeffer in the FIR. Jeffer confessed to the crime during interrogation, which was enough for the police to charge him. But the court required a solid evidence for a conviction. The evidence was overwhelming. Phone messages, CCTV footage confirming Noor's presence at the residence until her death, DNA, fingerprints at the crime scene, and the murder weapon, all pointing to Jeffer. Initially, some feared that Jeffer might escape justice due to his family's wealth, but both sides of his family, the Jeffers and the Adamjis, condemned his actions. They publicly disowned him and expressed support for the law and justice for Noor. The trial moved quickly and justice was served. Zahir Jeffer was sentenced to death for the murder of Noor Mukadam and given an additional 25 years for sexual assault. Jeffer appealed, claiming the sentence was unjust and merely to appease the media. But not only was his appeal rejected, but the sentence for sexual assault was also increased to life imprisonment, further affirming the court's commitment to justice in this harrowing case. Jeffer wasn't the only one held accountable in this tragic case. His two accomplices, the guard and the gardener, were also brought to justice. Both were charged with abetting the murder, and each received a 10-year prison sentence. Like Jeffer, they appealed for a reduction in their sentences, but the court upheld the original verdicts without any change. Setting aside Jeffer, who is now facing death row for his horrific crime, it's crucial to remember that Noor Mukadam represents just one of many victims of such tragedies, where women are deprived of their right to choose. Activists for women's rights in Pakistan and around the world point out that numerous women suffer similar fates, often unnoticed, because they are poor or marginalized. This is a distressing reality that underscores the need for significant societal changes. Noor's death is a stark reminder of the ongoing struggle for women's rights globally, especially in areas where women's freedoms are severely limited. The unimaginable pain that parents endure in losing a child in such a manner is a call to action. Supporting women's rights movements is more than just a gesture. It's a step towards creating a safer, more equitable world. These senseless acts of violence need to end. Our hearts go out to the Mukadam family and all other families who have endured similar losses. That's all for today. Thanks for watching.